Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Oh, if you came today, you came on a good day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have some friends in our midst, and I am actually not ministering, but I did think that there needed to be an introduction. And I've been waiting to do this introduction for a very long time. Glory to God. I'm actually very excited about it. This, you might not realize, but today's service is probably about just nearly two decades in the making. Not quite, but getting close to that, pushing on that. And maybe even the Hermans didn't know that it was that long in the making. Maybe they did. I think they probably do, but we knew it was too. Amen. This has actually been something that has been on my heart since we have started Mayville Church, praise the Lord. So almost 8 years, but it goes even further than that, and that's why I said it's a couple decades in the making. So praise the Lord, glory to God. And I'm going to explain just a little bit to you, and then I'm going to loose Reverend Chris on you. Praise the Lord. So, you know, how many know that God connects us to other people? Amen. God creates connections, and these connections are meant to bless us and to be a blessing in our lives. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the connections. You know, I might actually, I'm a weeping preacher, so you gotta, I just did my grandma's funeral. I cried through the whole thing, and said, but praise the Lord, I won't cry through the whole thing. But at any rate, glory to God. You go back, when my wife and I first started coming to the church, there was a lot, there was fewer of us. There was Renee and myself, and then our boys, Ezra wasn't around yet. We met this, we happened to run across this couple. At the time, it was Chris and Crystal Herman. And they had one little guy. This is a little guy. Will you stand up and show him how little you are now? Praise the Lord. This is Caden. Hallelujah. And I swear to God, he was about as tall as his knees, maybe a little bit taller when he came in. We didn't know how tall he'd get, but praise the Lord. We met this couple, and we just felt drawn to them, and they felt drawn to us. And we got together. We started hanging out. We were getting hungry for the things of God, and they were hungry for the things of God. And, you know, they had a little bit of a head start on us, and so they were helping us out along the way. And so over the years, we'd spend lots of time together. We'd stay up too late on Saturday nights and then come to church tired and stuff like that. We learned later on not to stay up so late, but we would come to church, and we would go through things, you know, together, and we would talk and we would fellowship. It's so important to have the right people in your lives. Amen. But I say all that to say this. You know, at the time, the Hermans knew that they had a calling. I believe at least Reverend Chris, I don't know if you did it either, but I knew that they were heading that way, a calling to minister. And that was something that was the furthest from my mind. I had no idea that I was called to any of those things. And there was this thing that was starting. Now, there's two quick stories I'm going to tell you, and I can't remember which one came first. So I'm just going to give them to you both real quick, and then we'll, and I think they'll make some sense. But they were two very important things, and I believe the Lord wanted me to share with you to introduce them. So there was this this time when we were together. We went down to see Reverend Chris's family down in Maryland, and they were doing this this food thing where they were taking food to poor areas of was it Annapolis? Yeah, down near Baltimore in that area, and we're talking very, very rough areas, places where there was just drive-by shootings, and they were going on all the time. And we were going there, and we were splitting up into groups, and we were going through another ministry, and we were splitting up into groups and going to different houses. And each group, they needed a leader, and so the leader of the leaders stood there and said, "Okay, we need a leader for this group." Now, if you know anything about myself, I hate typically public speaking, even talking in front of people generally at all, even just a few people. And so the guy said, "We need a leader for this group." And Reverend Chris spoke up and said, "Jeff will do it." Praise the Lord. And I was a little bit mad, but I couldn't do anything. And so that was the first time. And then we had started this, Pastor Tim had started this mentoring group and stuff like that, where it was like heading towards ministry, people who felt called to ministry. And he was going to take them in that direction and teach them and stuff like that. And so we would get together, and I did it for a little while. And then, by the way, this is a second story. And so we were doing it for a little while, and I just was like, "Man, I'm just not called to ministry. I'm not going to do this." And so I told my friend Chris, we hung out all the time, and I told him, I was like, I'm not going to do it anymore. And he didn't say a whole lot. But what I didn't know is, you know, a little bit of time had passed, whether it was weeks or months, Probably a few months had passed. And what I didn't know is that the Hermans and my wife had been talking with each other and kind of felt that that was probably not the right decision. Because I was convinced I wasn't called to ministry, and they maybe thought something different. Praise the Lord. And I remember this one day in particular, we were out up at my mom's house, and we were, because we used to get together, what's that? Picking berries. Well, him and I went down to pick berries. And they had this plan ahead of time, and I didn't know about it, but he was going to talk to me while I was down there. And we're in the berry patch, just Reverend Chris and I were in the berry patch, we're in the berry patch, and it's not even sad. That's the thing. It's so funny. But or maybe I don't know. But I said to we were just talking, you know, talking about it, and he was looking for the right opportunity, to which I didn't know. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to I think I might start going back to mentoring, or whatever we called it at the time. And he just looked at me and he said, yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. He said, praise the Lord. And so it was that plotting and that scheming. And, of course, there was a lot of trouble that we got into over the years, a lot of different things we did. But I'm just telling you honestly that I know this for a fact. We wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the right people. Praise the Lord. And so, with all that said, I felt that introduction was necessary. There's a message that he has for us this morning, and we're looking forward to receiving it. So I hope you welcome. Let's give him a warm family church. Welcome. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Love you,
love you too. Praise the Lord. How do you preach after that? All right, you're dismissed. No, praise the Lord. I mean, you're seeing the fruit of what I've seen, and me and my wife, honestly. You know, man, I don't even cry. What the heck, man? No one else come out here, up here. This is the crying section. Man, this is not me at all. But God does hook you up with the right people, you know? And, man, what a gift you guys have here. Amen? All right. Let's get into this. You ready? I've never, it's been a long time, if ever, that I've ever, my wife's saying never, that I've had to fight back tears this much. Man. Thank you, Lord. All right, ready to change gears? Yeah. I'm ready. Everybody hold up your Bible. Whether it's your Bible, your eye device, whatever. And I want you to say, this is God, speaking to me.
Speaking to me.
Now turn to your neighbor and say, this is God, speaking to you.
Speaking to you.
Amen, amen. Did you come hungry for the word today?
Yes.
Amen. I was telling your pastors today, when we were in the back room, I said, I have been so excited to come preach here. I woke up 2:00 in the morning, and I was just super excited. And then I think my wife was excited too, because about, what, a half an hour later, 3:00, she wakes up, and I was still up. And what was that? I was excited for what God's going to do.
Amen.
You know, this is a divine appointment.
Yes.
Not only is this help for you, but this is help for me.
Yes.
Amen. And God's going to take us to a higher place. God's going to take us to a higher place. You know, you don't have to be stuck where you're at.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to preach a message today about how to get unstuck. So God sent me all the way down here to Mayville because I heard you guys are experts on snow.
Yeah.
Does anybody know anything about snow here?
Yeah.
Amen. Does anybody ever try to get out of their driveway after a good snow? Is it easy or is it kind of hard? It's kind of hard, right? You ever try to do it without plowing or shoveling or... yeah. It's not fun, is it? It's not fun at all. You know, there's times, have you tried, you know, maybe you got a little stuck and you tried to go forward and backwards and forwards and backwards. And then maybe you have this thought, you know what, my problem is I just need a bigger vehicle. That gives me more clearance, you know, because there's been times I used to live in Jamestown and I lived in Casadega. I joked around because my wife, she graduated from Casadega. And I thought that was where the North Pole portal opened. I remember driving between Jamestown and Fredonia, and it's like I'm going into one of them snow globes. Someone's shaking. I was like, where's the road at? My wife said, just stay in between the snowbanks. So I don't know if that applies here in Mayville. I know there's times I feel like I'm in a Star Wars ship, and it's like hyperdrive. And as long as I can see the telephone poles and the snowbanks, she said I'd be safe. So. We didn't get that type of snow where I grew up. Pastor Jeff mentioned I grew up just south of Baltimore in Maryland. Not near as much snow down there as it up here. But you know what? This is where God lives, right? Amen, amen. So what happens sometimes, like I said, trying to get out of that driveway, you know, especially when you're in a rush, what usually happens? You get stuck. Who said that? Gold star. You get a gold star. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about getting unstuck. Amen. You know, I have this written down. We might get stuck, but the sad part is we have the right tools either in our garage or our basement.
Yeah, that's right.
And we decide not to get it out because we feel like we know how to do things the best way that we know how to.
Wow.
So, like I said, we might rock back and forth, forward and backwards. What are you trying to do? Just trying to get unstuck your own natural ways.
Right.
But you might have a snowblower. You might have some shovels. You might have some salt. Just sitting in the garage.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you just took a little bit of extra time to prepare for what was coming ahead?
Yeah.
You know, what happens if you just planned that little bit of extra minutes before just to kind of shovel out the driveway a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you think you would be less frustrated?
Yeah.
You know, just because we own the right tools doesn't mean the snow just automatically removes itself.
That's good.
So you could own the right tools. You might even know how to use them tools. But if you don't use them, they're not going to help you. They're not going to help you. It takes effort on our part to use them tools. We don't like effort. I mean, maybe not you guys. But I work, and I've been doing a lot of interviews recently as far as just trying to hire a new employee. And one of the things I've noticed is no one wants to show up. There's a lot of people out there complaining that they don't have enough, but they ain't showing up when they have a chance. You know, there might be some things that you're going on or that's going on in your life, and here's your answer. God sent you two amazing pastors, but you ain't showing up. Now, I'm not speaking to any of you. You guys are showing up. And if you're offended, I drive a white car out there so you can paint on it, throw tomatoes, whatever. Whatever makes you feel better, just come back. But it might, you know, it might take us a while that we're stuck. You ever been there in that driveway and you're trying and trying and trying and the time's going and you start feeling that crunch because you have to be somewhere. But it might take you a while to realize or come to terms that you're actually stuck.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a guy. Especially if you're a guy. For some reason, we're hard-headed, right?
Yeah.
We're like, no, we just one more time. I can get it this time. I can get it this time. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not looking at any of you. This is just things that I go through. I'm hard-headed, right? Getting stuck is frustrating. It's very frustrating. It's inconvenient. And at some time, there might be even points you feel hopeless.
Yeah.
And you're trying. And that hopeless feeling comes over. Why? Because you're trying to do it on your own knowledge. And we'll see how this gets back into this. Spiritually speaking, you know, we get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. And just kind of like them feelings as getting stuck in that driveway, we can feel the same way spiritually.
Yeah.
Lord, how come my situation is not changing? You know, maybe something happens and it's an inconvenient time.
Yeah.
And you feel stuck. You feel pointless. You feel hopeless.
Yeah.
You feel hopeless. And you're looking around. And you're like, Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, who you feel alone.
Yeah.
You feel worthless.
Yeah.
And what the devil wants to do, or the enemy, he wants to isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one going through it.
Yes, that's right.
Because he wants to leave you in the rut you think you dug for yourself. Because
yeah.
if you ain't going nowhere, you're really not a threat to him. And he's going to come in all different ways, whether, you know, making you busy or, you know, relationships or jobs or... it comes in so many different ways. But the whole point of it is to get you to not do anything. Because how many times have you got stuck, say, in your driveway that you just finally gave up and called into work? I can't make it. And that happens to us spiritually. We just give up. Well, we have to understand what's impossible to man is possible to God. So when you do feel like you're in a hopeless position, guess what? God has the way out. God has the way out. We talked about this. I've talked about this before, and it just seems good to say. Have anybody seen a map, and you know how it has like them little elevation lines on it so you know how high they are, how low they go? Well, us naturally looking at that map, we can visualize the different valleys and the hills and all that. So even though we're looking at this piece of paper with all the elevation lines, we see where all the elevation lines are at. So if we're walking in life, we're going to be like, okay, there's a mountain that's supposed to be here.
Yeah. Right.
But we need to look at it like what God sees it as. Now, if you're looking at that map the way God does, he just sees a flat piece of paper.
Yeah.
Them hills that you think that are in your life, God said, that's flat.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good.
And I say this a lot too, God always sees the best of you.
Yeah.
He always sees the best of you. We love the Holy Spirit here, right?
Amen.
We love the Holy Spirit here. Well, what's the Holy Spirit's job to do? To guide you to the places where God already sees you.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah.
You get a guided tour to where God already sees you being victorious.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's nothing too big that God can't get you around. And it's easier to do it God's way than our own way. Because
yes.
we're looking at that map and we're scheming. Okay, if we go this way, we go that way, we go... God said, I gave you enough power to walk right over that mountain.
That's
Now, if I rose Jesus, not me, but God speaking, if God rose Jesus from the grave, what can he do in your life? What can he do in your life? Where are some of the things you need moved in your life? Where are some of the things you need changed in your life? Well, do you realize how big your God is? Do you realize how big your God is? You know, let's use David as an example. He ran towards Goliath, not saying, oh, look at this big, ugly dude. He didn't say that. He said, this is how big my God is.
Yes.
That's right.
And there was no fear in him at all. Why? Because he knew that his God was bigger than Goliath. Now, at that point in time, Goliath was probably the biggest person that he's ever seen. You know, there might be times in your life, this might be the biggest thing that you've ever seen. But run towards that full steam saying, but my God's bigger. My God's bigger. Amen. Hey, welcome to church. It's going to be fun. Amen. You know, the word works when you get excited about it. Are you excited about the word? Hey, that's good. I like this church already. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some verses and we're going to show us how sometimes we get stuck. Okay, so we're going to look at some verses. You can follow me back there, Caleb. And we're going to look at these verses and we're going to see how we get stuck. You ready? Let's go to Joshua 1:8. And again, like I said, I'm going to show you verses on how we get stuck. Now, this is a trick because by the end of us looking at these scriptures, you're going to be like, Reverend Chris, you're nuts. How are you showing us these scriptures and you're saying this is how we get stuck? Well, wait on for a second. We'll show you. Joshua 1:8. You ready? And I'm reading now the New King James, but the King James. Whatever Bible you have, as long as you understand, it's good enough for me. You know, if you don't have a Bible that you can understand, go get one that you can. Because how God's word is going to work for you if you don't know what it says? So Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Man, this is a good verse, right? Again, I'm just bringing up these verses because I'm going to show you how we get stuck sometimes. I know you're like, how? I don't get it. I told you, just hang up with me. All right, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. These are great verses. Now, I'm not trying to diminish it. Now, I don't want you guys to stop going to these verses because I said, well, this is how we get stuck. Again, like I said, stay with me. I'm going to explain this to you. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay, we'll just stay there for a second. Go back. Sorry about that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah. Just meditate on that for a second. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to for your wisdom? Well, I'm going to go look at this TV. I'm going to look up things on the internet. I'm going to go talk to these people. Well, do they have godly knowledge or not? Do you want to be around people that tear you down or build you up? I'd rather be around people who's going to pray in agreement with me. And say, you know what, let's get over this together. Yeah. Because I enjoy people around me that says, well, God is bigger. Yeah. Amen? How about nor stand in the way of sinners? You don't need to be around that. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. These are things of not to be around. Yeah. Not to be around. Verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. Amen. Another great verse. Amen. Let's go to another verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I'll actually turn to this one. Last verse I made to Ezekiel. Didn't quite make it all the way there. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't know this one at all? Pastor said this is an unfamiliar verse to you guys. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. Again, these are awesome verses, but again, hold on to me because I'm showing you where we get stuck at. Let's go to one more verse and then we're going to go back and look at them again. Let's go to Isaiah 1:19. Is it okay that you just see the word for yourself? I don't want to be one of these preachers that you just believe me because I'm up here saying it.
That's right.
I want you to believe it because you see it in the Bible for yourself. You know, I endeavor to do that. I don't ever want to build my belief system on what another man's telling me.
That's right.
You'll get yourself in trouble. You know, so it's important for you to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayers. You know, maybe actually listen to your pastors. You know, because they're trying to guide you into the victory side. Yes. Amen. But don't believe them just because they're up here saying it. Believe it because it's in the Bible.
Right.
You remember at the beginning of the service, we raised our Bible and said, this is God speaking to me. Yeah. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you believe it? That's what we're after. We want to believe what's in the Word of God.
Yeah.
We want to see the fruit of the Word in our lives.
That's right.
But Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
These are all great verses. Amen?
Amen?
But now let's go back to where we started. And now we're going to see where we get stuck at. No one raised their hand, but just mentally picture this. Have you ever meditated on the Word day and night? Have you ever renewed your mind on situations that you're going through and it just seemed not to work? You ever been there? I know I have.
Yeah.
And you remember at the beginning of the service when we were talking about getting stuck in our driveway and it's inconvenient and frustrating? Well, same thing spiritually. If you're renewing your mind If you're meditating day and night and the word's not working for you, well, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get frustrated. You're going to question God if he's going to work.
Yeah.
And what's happening is this is the beginning of you getting stuck in a rut. So now let's look at these verses again a little closer, because there's something that I think we miss in these verses. At least not we. How about me? We'll say that, because I know y'all are educated. Me, not so much. So I'm going to talk to me, and I'm going to show you where I missed it at. This is where I got stuck at. You ready for this? Let's go back to Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate wherein day and night." That's a great verse, right? This is what I'm talking about. We meditate day and night, meditate day and night, meditate day and night. But this is the important part. You ready for this one? "That thou may observe to do all that is written." See, we have to understand, we meditate and we renew our mind all the time. You go to a good church. You know you got scriptures on your situations. You know you have people believing God for you. But a lot of people are not doing this part, observing to do according to what is written. We get to the point where we meditate, we build ourselves up, we're renewing our mind, but you're not doing what you're renewing your mind on. You know, maybe I have an issue of walking in love, so I've been looking and meditating on walking in love scriptures. You know, we all need a little bit of that, especially me. Especially me. But is that word going to work in my life? Is that word going to produce a fruit in my life if I don't do it?
No.
Yeah. That's
right. If I don't do it, I could be filled with the word, and I could be frustrated that it's not working in my life.
Yeah.
But is it God's fault, or is it my fault? Because I'm not doing or observing to do according to all that is written.
Yeah.
And we get frustrated at God because we're the one not doing the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Amen?
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, that you may observe to do all according to that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Well, I'm renewing my mind. I'm renewing my mind. I'm meditating day and night. Shouldn't I just be prosperous? No, because you didn't do what was according to the word.
Yeah.
You know, you did part A and you expected part C,
yeah,
but you forgot to do B.
That's right.
Wow.
And so this is how we get stuck. So many times, like I said, we renew our mind. We know what to do. We know what our help is.
Right.
We're even looking at what our help is, but we always miss the part of according to do what is written therein.
Yeah.
We're looking for the promised land. We're looking for the prosperous, good success.
Yeah.
But you're not doing the word that you've been meditating on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, this is going to be a recurring thing. When I started seeing this in the word, I was mind blown. You ever see that? The word just pops off and comes alive. That's why I love the word so much. And like I said, there was times that I got stuck. I'm like, Lord, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I know I'm well taught. I'm around the right people. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. How come I'm not seeing all this good stuff that you talk about? And the Lord tells me, well, are you doing what you're seeing? You know, how's that go? Knowledge isn't knowing what to do, but doing what you know. I'm going to say that one more time, just in case I messed it up the first time. Knowledge isn't knowing what to do, but doing what you know. Again, there's a doing part. You know, God showed his love by what? He gave. He gave. That was his action of love. So Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, we already looked at that part. Let's go down to verse 2. It says, "But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." So here, we're doing the same thing. We're meditating, we're meditating, we're meditating, meditating. Verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water." We want to do that, right? We want to be that stable tree that's growing. You know, it does matter where you plant it at, by the way. It does matter where you plant it at. It does. Who's watering your life? Who's watering your life? What kind of water is coming through your eyes and ears? Because they're going to get down in your heart.
Yeah.
And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Just saying. It says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither. These are awesome, right? These are stable people. These are people that are growing. And it says, you know, but here it comes, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Well, who's doing the doing part? Whatever they shall do, whatever you should do shall prosper. So here, these people are at the right place. They're planted right. They're bringing forth fruit. But there's also an action. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Lord, I'm waiting to prosper. I'm waiting for that magic Powerball to hit the right number so I can prosper these millions of dollars. You know, oh, I watched a $20 bill fall out of someone's pocket. That must be God prospering me. Ever been there? That tests your character quickly, don't it? Waiting for that $100 bill to fall underneath that pocket. Just a little more. Just a little more. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at this blessing. No, the right thing to do is say, excuse me, you dropped this. But we don't see that much in the world anymore, do we? Amen. Let's go back to this unfamiliar verse, Romans chapter 12. You know, it's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh. And I know you guys do a lot of them because I know your pastors. You know, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. Joy is fruit of the Spirit. What's that mean? That means you can go through this life happy. Happy. How can you smile through it? Yeah, happy, happy, happy. There we go. How are you going to go through this life, you know, without a smile? Is there any other way? Yeah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Yes. Who's doing the counting? Again, we want that word to work in our life.
Yep.
Start counting the joy. Because guess what? The trials are coming.
Yep.
Or you know what? Let me give you a revelation. The trials are here. The trials are here. How are you going to go through them? Again, amen. Going through them with joy. Why? Because God already sees you victorious of whatever you're going to go through. He gave you the Holy Spirit to guide you to that victory lane. You've already won. Already won. Put the devil in his place. He's under your feet. Do something about it. Tell him where he belongs. So many times we just, oh, he ate my lunch, it's okay. You going to let the devil bully you? You going to let him bully you? Do you realize the greater one that's already inside of you has whooped him? Straight up whooped him. So why are you scared? Woo! Welcome to church. Amen. Amen. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, who does the presenting? We do. And the sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Say it. Which is your reasonable service. Wow. So here, this unfamiliar verse to you guys actually shows us that we have responsibility. Let's look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Why? Because why is the people of the world coming to the church if they look like the world? I know when I needed Jesus, I didn't need something that looked like the world. I didn't need something that mirrored what the world was doing. I needed an encounter to get out of the lifestyle that I was living. Why do I want to go to a place that constantly keeps me in the lifestyle that I want to get out of? And the devil's going to come and say, well, look what, you had so much fun back then. Well, did I? Why was I trying to find Jesus then? Why was I miserable then?
Yeah.
You know, so many times what the devil tries to do is he tries to get you to think that you're missing out on something.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Oh, God's keeping something from you. God's keeping something from you. You know, he did the same thing to Adam and Eve back in the garden. You know, did God really say not to eat fruit from them trees? And Eve said, yeah. And what made Eve fall is when it was pleasurable to her eyes. You know, the devil appealed to something to her senses. The devil's going to come to you to try to appeal to your senses to make you think you're missing out on something. Well, why would God not want you to have the knowledge of good and evil? Because he wants to keep me safe. You know, there's going to be times that God tells you to do something that you might not understand.
That's right.
But do you have faith enough to believe it?
That's right. That's good.
Or are you going to let the devil talk you into like you're missing something?
Yeah.
Let the words of God be the anchor to get you through this life.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So again, here's another verse. You know, we believe in two or three witnesses around here, right? This is a third witness that if you renew your mind and that you're meditating day and night, you actually have to do something to produce a fruit. You have to do something to produce a fruit. So do you see where we can get stuck at times?
Yeah.
So many times we just stop at the renewing our mind and meditating, and we forget to do stuff.
Right.
But we ask God, well, God, where's the prosperity? God, where's the overcoming? And God's looking down at you and saying, but where's your part?
Yeah.
Where's your action?
Yeah.
You know, relationships work better when both people are involved.
Yeah. That's right.
They do. They do. If you're in a relationship and you're the only one pulling weight, it's going to be frustrating.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
That's right.
It's going to take a toll on your body.
Yeah.
But what happens if you have someone come alongside you to help you out? Joy. I like that. Who said that? Amen. There you go, brother. Woo! Joy. But we have a part to play.
That's right.
You know, let's go back and look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. God is so good. What's he teaching us? He wants to get us unstuck. Why? Because if you're unstuck, you can go a lot farther.
Yeah.
You know, when you're stuck in a rut, it takes you a while to get out. You know, you're wasting gas. You know, you're not going nowhere. You're frustrated. And you're probably tearing some things up.
Yeah.
You know, you get some, big chunks of ice underneath your bumper. You know, it starts moving things that are not supposed to be moved.
Yeah.
Your mud flaps come off, you know. God doesn't want that. I've experienced it, you know. I've experienced it. And it's frustrating. But if we took that time to go get the right tools out of the garage or the right tools out of the basement or wherever we keep it at, it's going to be so much easier. And it just took a little bit of effort on our part. I mean, sometimes that little bit of effort saves us a whole bunch of time. But yet we think it's inconvenient.
Yeah.
So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says, if you, say that's me.
That's
if you, that's me.
That's me.
Be willing and obedient, say you, that's me.
That's me.
Shall eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself in this verse?
Yeah.
I actually have this written down, and this is good. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Where are you at? Because I don't even know where I'm at in my notes. Oh, there it is. Willingness is a mindset. Obedience is the action. And I like that in this verse. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So many times people are willing, but are you obedient? Sometimes you might be obedient, but were you willing? You want me to give you an example? Tell your kids to go clean their room. See, it's funny. I hear the parents laughing, and I see the kids like, yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you have to be willing and obedient. It's a two-part thing. You know, we can't just be willing and expect to eat the good of the land. But also, we can't just be obedient. and eat the good of the land.
That's good too.
You have to be willing and obedient. You know, kids, just to tell you a secret, I know, you know, I used the go clean your room as an example, but let me let you in a little secret. If you do that willingly and obedient, your parents kind of want to bless you.
Yeah, that's right.
They kind of want to bless you. You know, they don't want you to miss out on things. You know, they're actually looking forward, you know, because they don't want you to grow up to be like a slob. You know, I mean, me and my wife, we had some opportunities to manage some college properties up in Buffalo. And guess what? Them kids were probably not willing and obedient to clean their room. You know, if anything, it's like, dear Lord, y'all still need a mother. Holy smokes, man. I mean, I've grown up in a city. I mean, I've seen like some homeless like shelter tents more clean than some of them college rentals and all that. Like, dear Lord, I mean, them rats eat good up there. All right, I'm sorry. We'll keep on going. My bad. Didn't mean to get sidetracked. But in some of these apartments, I just got. Oh, she knows what I'm talking about. Like, dear Lord, they need Jesus. I mean, it's bad when a maid won't even come. You know. You try to pay someone to clean it. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. They definitely weren't willing and obedient. But you know, willingness is the mindset. Obedience is the action. You know what happens? You know, I've been in an opportunity that God said, "Hey, pack up and move."
Yeah.
It was hard at first. I was not willing. I was obedient, but I was not willing. God, why is this so hard mentally? Why am I so frustrated? Well, because I was not willing.
Yeah.
Lord, help me get over this. I wasn't willing. I felt stuck.
Yeah.
Even though my natural, I was moving, I was obedient, I was going places, but spiritually I was stuck in a rut because I wasn't willing to do it. You know, and we can get like that in anything.
Yeah.
You know, you can do things, but you can do it grudgingly.
Yeah.
I mean, even finances. What God loves a what? Cheerful giver.
Yeah.
It's a mindset.
Yeah.
Cheerful, you're just willing to do it happily. You know, and you're giving. What's that mean? That's you're obedient.
Yeah.
There's blessing attached to that. It's just an example of being willing and obedient.
Right.
But then there's also times that we're willing and we refuse. You know, God says, you know, hey, help this person out financially, or hey, go spend time, you know, because your time, you could give your time as an offering. Go sit with so-and-so just to talk to them.
Yeah.
You might be willing, but you weren't obedient.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes our ignorance and stubbornness is causing somebody else's breakthrough.
Wow.
You know, I say this a lot. Sometimes we're an answer to somebody else's prayer and might not even know it. And you're delaying somebody else's help because you're not willing or obedient.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because you're so selfish and want to do what you want to do that you're not willing to be inconvenient for the Lord.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
No one likes it when God tells us something that we don't like doing.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, that's true.
But I have to have that heart change and say, but you know what? God already sees me victorious over whatever I'm going through.
Yeah.
That's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm willing to do stuff with joy. Why? Because this is where God called me to be. And if this is where God called you to be, this is where you're going to have your breakthroughs. This is where you're going to have your blessings. This is where you're going to have your miracles. This is where you're going to have your restoration.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to have your feeding.
Yeah.
But you have to know where God called you to.
Right. Yeah.
And if you know where God called you to, be willing and obedient there.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Why? Because God wants you to eat the good of the land. Have you ever seen God lead you to a place that just was a dump?
No.
Not really. Not God. Not really.
Yeah.
So do you have enough faith that God's at least trying to look out for the best for you?
Yeah.
Even though you might not like it.
Right.
God still wants the best for you.
That's right.
Amen?
Yep.
You know, the word of God is a seed. We see that, right? You know, the parable of the sower. The sower sows what? The seed, the word. Amen? So the word of God is a seed. Now, I'm not much of a farmer, or I don't even have a green thumb, really. But I know if I put a seed in the ground, that's not the ultimate goal, is just to put the seed in the ground. Eventually, it's got to grow, you know? So even though you put a seed, even though you put the word of God in your heart, what are you doing to make it grow? Are you just leaving it there? And said, "Well, we got seed in the ground. We got seed in the ground. But at what point is it going to produce the fruit?" Now I'm going to ask you a question. You ready for this question? If someone outside, not saying we're judging people, but could somebody confuse, or would somebody know you as a Christian tree? Would someone know you as a Christian tree? Like when somebody from the side, they're looking at you and they're saying, "Oh, that's a Christian. There's something different about that person." I'm not talking about you're going around with signs saying, "I'm a Christian." You know, you're not being one of them weirdos on the side of the street with a billboard, you know, flashing lights trying to scare everybody. No, but just the way you conduct everyday life.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, are your words seasoned with love? Are you one of them people to fly off the handle and cuss everybody out?
Wow.
You know, I remember Pastor Mike Anderson. I don't know if you met him. Most of you probably have. He said, "Don't be them people that have a Jesus fish on your car flicking everybody off."
Yeah.
Well, because what's that fruit showing? A great representation of Christ. You know, yep, I could see Jesus cruising in his whatever car, we'll say a tractor and trailer, that seems cool. Flicking off everybody, right? That just won't happen. You got his trucker cap on and everything, honking a horn. No, I don't picture Jesus like that. No. So why should we be like that? And if you're a truck driver, I'm sorry, you know. I apologize. But what type of fruit is your life showing? You know, are people going? Do you have a reproach against you in life? You know, are people avoiding you? You know, are you one of the people that is a bad influence to the rest of your friends around you? Are you justifying their bad actions? Are you keeping that company to justify your actions? You know, don't get comfortable with sin.
Yeah.
That doesn't help anybody. You know, we should be uncomfortable with sin. You know, I'm not saying them people don't need help, but they shouldn't be your first and foremost, you know, go-to. I'm not saying you can't hang out with them, because we all have a field, but don't be like them. So let's keep on going. You ready for? All right. Let's look at another rut. Let's go over to Luke chapter 10. We'll look at this. The word of God's good. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 38 through 42. If you're not familiar, well, I'm sure you guys are familiar, but if you guys are not familiar with these verses, this is about Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary. Verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Verse 39, it says, "And she said, a sister," or "and she had a sister," excuse me, "she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Verse 42, it says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So we're going to look at another rut that we can get into. That word cumbered means to draw different ways at the same time, hence to distract with cares and responsibilities. Figuratively meaning to be drawn around in mind or to be distracted, preoccupied with cares or business. Wow. I'm going to say that one more time. Excuse me. To draw different ways at the same time. I had something pop up on my, I didn't need that, right? to draw different ways at the same time, hence to distract with cares and responsibilities. Figuratively meaning to be drawn around in mind or to be distracted, preoccupied with the cares or business. See, I want to bring out something about this event. Martha was at the right place, hearing the right thing, but doing the wrong action. Martha was at the right place, hearing the right thing, but doing the wrong action. You know, it says that she was cumbered about many things. You know, we can be at the right place. We can hear the right words, but we can do the wrong action. In church, this is real easy to do if, say, you serve all the time. So many times what happens is you get to a point that you come to church, not to help people, but because it's a chore or a job.
Yeah.
And here you're at the right place. Here you're hearing the good word, but you're doing the wrong thing.
Wow.
You know, instead of plugging in, helping pull on your pastor, you know, we're completely distracted with the cares and the businesses. You know, now, obviously, I mean, ushers, you know, if you're a ministry of help, not just ushers, but different ministries, like, there's things that we have to pay attention to. There's parts to play to make the service go. We all have a part to play, you know. But if you care about that more so than you care about the word that's coming out of the preacher's mouth, you might have to check up on yourself, you know. It shouldn't be like that. But again, that's a rut. Mm-hmm. But you're at the right place. I go to church all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm around people who go to church all the time. Mm-hmm. But their lives are a mess.
Yes.
Because their faith isn't in God. Their faith is in the check mark of going to church.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say this. You know, sometimes what happens too, when you come to church, you learn how to hide things better than you learn how to deal with things. Yeah. I think that's how I want to say it. You know, because how many times you coming into the door, hey, how you doing? Great.
Yeah.
How you doing? Feeling good, blessed, favored.
Yeah.
And inside you're tearing up. You're stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
You're frustrated with God.
Yeah.
And what did you learn at church? You learned how to hide your problem instead of deal with it.
Yeah.
Instead of going before the Lord saying, Lord, help me, show me how to get out of this, you just put a Band-Aid on so everybody thinks you're all right.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, we come to church to get help, but are we going to open up our heart enough to get help? Or are you so used to hiding your problems that you built a brick wall around it that no one can even penetrate it? You know, I mean, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. But if you got your walls up, you're not even letting the anointing break that yoke. And then you call later on, look, pastors, I got these problems. Well, if we come with a hungry heart and we expect answers and service, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you exactly what you need. He'll talk to you about things you're going through, and the pastor's not even preaching about that.
Yeah.
But it's that anointing that able to penetrate that yoke.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So here Martha was in the right place, hearing the right thing, but doing the wrong action. Yeah. We'll also go with this. Martha tried to justify her actions by trying to correct her sister's actions. Yeah. Martha tried to justify her actions by trying to correct her sister's actions. Do you realize both of them were in the room with Jesus?
Yeah.
Both of them were in the room with Jesus. Martha, how are you going to get help with all the trouble that you're in if you're trying to fix your brothers and sisters?
Yep.
Sister at the time, but I know I have boys and they have brothers. You know, I don't want to leave brothers out because y'all are part of the problem sometimes too. But that's what you try to do. Jesus, look at me. I'm so holy. I'm serving.
Yeah.
Look how lazy she is.
That's right.
Look how lazy. She's not doing nothing.
Yeah.
Jesus is looking at her. I can see him like, she's doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anything, you could learn something. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. But Martha tried to justify her actions by trying to correct her sister's actions. Always trying to fix somebody else. Always trying to fix somebody else. Oh, yeah, I got this written down, too. This is good because this is what I was thinking. God's so good. Martha's own insecurities and troubles almost pulled someone else away from what Jesus was doing. I'm going to say that one more time. Martha's own insecurities and troubles almost pulled someone else away from what Jesus was doing.
That's worthy of
meditation. Amen. Amen. I can. Siri, I said, Jesus told Martha, Martha's own insecurities and troubles almost pulled someone else away from what Jesus was doing. Thank you. Now I'm just like, no, I'm just playing. I don't even know what it was. I've just come to the realization that Siri and Alexa just doesn't like me. You know, I have Alexa at my home and I'll say something. Oh, okay. And I'm wait. Like, Alexa, turn lights on. Okay. Alexa, are you going to turn the lights on? Okay. And then one of my kids, usually Caden. Caden's like, hey, Alexa, turn lights on.
True.
And they just come on.
Same story.
Man, AI doesn't even like us. Like, but God is so good. Amen. God will hear you. God won't ignore you.
That's right.
You know, if you lack wisdom, he says, ask him.
Yeah.
Ask him. And he's not going to ignore you, regardless of what everybody else around you is doing. God will not ignore you. He loves you. You know, if you're trying to fix somebody else, most likely it's a deflection of having to fix yourself. You are avoiding fixing the issues that God is dealing with you about. You know, we do that. We do that. It's easier to see the timber in somebody else's eye instead of taking out the timber that's in your eye. You know, we keep ourselves preoccupied trying to fix other people instead of trying to fix what God's dealing with us with. Martha was doing the same thing. She had insecurities. She had troubles. You know, her mind was pulled in a whole bunch of different directions, and what made her feel better is trying to tear somebody else down.
Yeah.
We do that. You know, I see that the world, that's the world's way. Well, what's going to make me look better? What's going to make me get to the top if I tear somebody else down? If I hide knowledge? You know, I worked at a factory before, and I actually had a guy tell me that he wasn't going to show me everything he knew because he was scared I might take his job. Dude, you were here for 16 years. Obviously, you did something right. I'm a temp. I doubt they're even going to keep me. But you know what? Some of the stuff that you feel that you're holding back could be the very thing that could be your help. You know, you're trying to ask God for help, but you're so self-indulged or selfish that you don't want anybody to help you.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? Burn yourself out?
Yeah.
Lord, I need help. And he sends you help, but you keep on pushing him away or her away. You know, we pray to the Lord, but we think that the avenues that we have in our mind is the only way that God can get things to us.
Yeah.
You're limited in your blessing. You've capped certain ways that God can't bless you because you're not even expecting it. Or not unexpected. You don't even think that God can work that way.
Yeah.
Do you understand that God answered somebody through a donkey? If God can get the answer through a donkey,
yeah.
If God can use me as a preacher, you know, God can use different ways to get things to your life.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing and obedient to do it. But Jesus told Martha the answer how to get unstuck. You ready for this?
Yes.
But one thing is needful, and Mary chose it.
Yeah.
That's what he told Martha. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what's going on in life, the one thing that is important, the one thing to get unstuck, the one thing to get away from your problems, the one thing to help you be overcome, Mary has chosen. And what did Mary choose to do? Be at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Be at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
So how do we get unstuck? Number one, we have to put the Lord first.
Yes.
We see that that's what Martha did. Or not, excuse me, Martha, what Mary did.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that Martha was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here Mary came in and she said, Lord, I know you have something to say and it's important to me. Martha said, I got a bunch of work to do.
Yeah.
And she was distracted for the thing that was going to probably change her life, from the thing that was going to get her out of trouble. So number one, to get unstuck, you have to put the Lord first. Number two, his word is important in your life. So not only are you putting the Lord first, but you also, his word's important to you.
Yeah.
His word's important to you. And that's what Mary did. Lord, I know I have a bunch of things going on, but you know what? You're first.
Yes. Good.
You know, I mean, we've all been there. People come over. What do? We stress clean.
Yeah.
We don't want people to see the real us. We, you know, but even in that situation, Mary was still willing to put the Lord first, regardless of what other people were going
to
think of her or not. You know, people are going to wonder why you go to church. People's going to wonder why you go to mid-services. People wonder why you pray. Well, why? You're showing that you put the Lord first. People is not going to understand it. But they don't need to, because it's your relationship with the
that's
Lord.
That's right.
You know, it's your relationship with the Lord.
Yep.
Number three, and we'll close with this, let's put action to our meditations and renewed mind.
Yep.
Let's put actions to our meditations and renewed mind. Amen? So I'll go over them three again. Number one, put the Lord first. Number two, his word is important in your life.
Yeah.
And number three, let's put actions to our meditation and renew mind.
Amen.
Amen.